You know, I fear our culture is really naive and somewhat ignorant of the view of what goes on in the world today, and especially what our soldiers go through. And, you know, this is Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, it's a big deal. For anybody that's served in the military, it's really a big deal. And then for all of us that sit here this morning, it should be a big deal as well. You know, I know one thing that we heard about this week too that really hit me hard is there was a young man that in Carbondale, their whole family, I got to know them really well for the 8 years that I was up at Carbondale, and it really he was in my youth group up there and just really got to know him, and just a great family, you know. They'd been, I mean, just, you know, a family that just needed love is what they were. They were looking for somebody to love them. And we seemed to be there together. And so Marcus and Katrina, they brothers and sisters, and just Marcus is just such a loving person. And I want to talk about Marcus just a few minutes here. And if you'd met Marcus, and I know some of you might have that are here, you would know that Marcus always had a smile on his face. He always had a good word. And but Marcus was a manager at a restaurant in Carbondale. What's the name of it? Applebee's. I'm sorry, my mind evaded me. But Marcus was killed this week. He was on his way home from work and got hit by a car. And that just really broke my heart to know him, but to know him, you know, he was just such a kind-hearted person in such a rough atmosphere at times. And so my heart was just broken when I heard that, you know. But praise God, I have to believe that God is with him today, and he is with God today. And so, you know, some think that soldiers are merely just fighting or just roughnecks or whatever you want to say, you know, men who go out and women now, you know, who go out and kill and capture bad guys. You know, that's what the movies display a lot of times, and that there's others who may see soldiers as the makers of good news stories. You know, we like to have the good stories or what we see on TV, or we see guys you know, that they give themselves to painting schools and they pass out candy at parades and they visit orphanages but. You know, that's what we see on TV sometimes, you know. But let me tell you, they do that stuff. There are some that do that stuff. But and they do a little bit of all of it. But it doesn't define who they are, nor does it come close to defining what they are achieving. And this is my point this morning. There's a guy by the name of William Bennett. He recently wrote this on Memorial Day, and I read this and it just really hit me. He's paraphrasing what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, "The American soldier, his patriotism, his fidelity and valor have made this land the last best hope on earth. We get to live in this land." Well, why is that? The reason is because they aren't merely just painting schools, or they're not just finding and killing bad guys. These men and women are ambassadors for cultural change. Man, we live in a blessed country. They're literally shaping a culture and physically lifting it out of the grasp of oppression and making a way for human dignity. They're agents of cultural change. They're on point in our nation's role as the last best hope as ambassadors in a complex world that we live in. That's why I said, sometimes I think we are so naive to what goes on around the rest of the world because we're so comfortable living in this world. We don't worry about soldiers breaking into our church and dragging us out. We don't worry about that, do we? That never crossed any of our minds this morning that we would be faced with any opposition whatsoever just to come to church. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. And I wonder how many will celebrate tomorrow, giving thanks and honor for those soldiers who gave their lives so that we would have the freedom to even celebrate that day. You know, it really doesn't. I know that there will be a lot of people who get the day off, which is good. There's going to be a lot of barbecue eaten tomorrow, which is good. You know, there's a lot of people going to be at the lake, and they may not be on the water too much tomorrow. Depends on how the storms are. And, you know, the campground may be a little nasty, wet, and messy, but, you know, there's people that are packed all the campgrounds around. But I wonder if their celebration is in thought and honor of what our soldiers do. It's more than just a day that we can go to the lake and have a barbecue, isn't it? It's a day set aside to remember those who have given their lives as ambassadors for this cultural change. It's interesting to note that the words remember, remembrance, and memorial are found more than 230 times in the Bible. And the Lord commanded His people. He commanded them in the Old Testament to observe certain days of remembrance. In the New Testament, Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. He says this, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembrance is important. So this morning, I want us to remember three things of this cultural change that has shaped our lives. Number one, the soldiers who have died for our freedom. We need to remember them. We need to remember them. Jesus said this in John 15, 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Amen?
Amen.
In the Civil War, 365,000 Northern soldiers were killed and 133,000 soldiers from the South died. Think about that. In World War I, 116,000 American soldiers died. In World War II, 407,000 American soldiers died. 54,000 American soldiers died in Korea and 58,000 died in Vietnam. And that's not counting the non-military people and all the other agencies and everybody that goes into that. 148 men and women died during Desert Storm, and 3,435 American soldiers have died in Iraq, and 390 in Afghanistan. And that number is actually more than that right now. So when we look at those numbers, more than a million Americans have died in wars fighting for the freedom that we enjoy. How many here today are glad that Hitler didn't win? Right? All of us. But it would have never happened. We would have never defeated, the world would have never defeated Hitler if it hadn't have been for America and the fighting men that went to fight. Willingly. Signing up, young men, 17 years old, 16 years old, "I want to go fight for my country." Willing to give it up. Yes. You know, we're free today because of the service of our soldiers. Amen. We're free to pray and not to pray. We're free to worship as we choose. We're free to speak our minds, although some may say we're not. We're free to vote for leadership of this country too. And I will say, you need to vote. I can't tell you how to vote. I can't. That's your freedom. I can tell you how I'd like for you to vote. But you know, that's the freedoms that we have, is you have the right to go and vote for whoever you want to. That's your choice. It's not like that in a lot of places. We need to remember that the sacrifice of our American soldiers, our ambassadors for culture change, who have gone before us so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. It's been said, and I think it's rightly said, is freedom is not free. We've heard that, haven't we? It's not. It's not free. There are people who have paid for our freedom, and we call them soldiers. And it's not just soldiers, there's others. Secondly, we need to remember this, that we need to remember also the saints who have died for their faith. That's a good thing to remember. You know, this building that we worship in today was built in 1966, actually started in 1965 and finished in 1966. And it's the second building that this church congregation has had. The first church is over on Chestnut Street, still standing today. I think people live in it now. I think it's actually been converted to a house. And I know we have two people here. Joyce is not here this morning, but Doris and Joyce attended that church. Now, it doesn't give, I'm not telling you their age, but it's been a few years ago. I don't think they started that church. But they remember attending that church. And I know there's been many here. Leonard? Leonard went to Sunday school there. You know? But, you know, I remember you was married in that church. Isn't that awesome? You know, we need to remember those and their names on plaques back there in the overflow. If you notice, we have these little plaques back there. It's got these little name tags on them. And it's there to honor the ones who have gone on before us. Some of you sitting here, you don't remember a lot of people with names on that plaque back there. You don't remember their families. You don't know them. There's a lot of names on there that I do remember because I've been in the church and around this church for 30 years. And so there's a lot of names. There's a lot of great people that have kept this church together and poured their whole entire lives out into keeping the doors open on this church and to bring it to where it is today. And they sacrifice things. You hear me this morning? I can tell you, they played a major part in the construction of this building. And this building was built by a group of people from different Nazarene churches who had a passion to plant a church in this community. And you wonder, how could a bunch of people from different churches ever get along? Right? You wonder that. But Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, when you have your heart right with God, here's how it all works. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Amen?
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. Amen? It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's all about Him. When it becomes about me, then there's a problem, right? They came together in one faith, believing in one Lord and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They came together, leaving behind their personal differences and practices so that Jesus could be glorified. We need to remember the sacrifices that they made. We need to remember that. We need to remember the efforts that they took so that we can be here today. You know, I don't like to use the word pride or to be proud, you know, to boast. But, you know, I'm so blessed and thankful that God has given us a place like this to worship today on a rainy day, lightning, thundering. But yet we sit here on comfortable chairs and air conditioning, you know, good roof over our heads. Praise God for that. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to thank those who give to make that happen. Those that we need to remember, those who gave to make that happen. Families that mortgaged their homes. Seriously. Who gave up everything just so this church could exist in this community. They gave their time and their money so that this building could be built. And they had faith that they could be joined together in unity because of one blood, or the blood of Jesus Christ, and we need to remember them. And was it easy? No. Wasn't easy. Let me tell you, I say this a lot, and I mean it with all the love in my heart, but we're one big dysfunctional family. We got problems. I do. I got problems. Sometimes my problems become your problems, even when you don't want my problems. Right? It's the same for me. Sometimes your problems become my problems, even while I don't really want your problems. But we work it out together, don't we? That's what a family does. When a family is for Christ, when it's all about Jesus, then it. But it's because of the sacrifices given by the soldiers, you know, to keep. And I say our saintly soldiers too. You know, we're in the Lord's army. You remember that song? I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Some of you older people like me remember that. I will fight in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery because I'm in the Lord's army, you know? I don't even know where I'm at now. You ever do that? I'm kind of like that, yeah. I'm like that. Like that hound dog of mine, you know, unless there's food around, then he can concentrate on that. You know, it's easy to be a Christian, and in some parts of the world, people are killed for their faith. It's easy to be a Christian here in this country. According to the Open Doors of International, it's an NGO, they're advocates for persecuted Christians. It says 4,200, and this is today, 4,277 Christians were unjustly arrested, detained, and imprisoned in 2021. And Christianity is considered the world's most persecuted religion, with around 365 million Christians facing high levels of persecution and discrimination in the world today. Did you know that? Does that surprise you? 365 million? That's 1 in 7 Christians are persecuted worldwide. 1 in 7. And there are currently Christians in prison around the world today because of their faith. And just as Mom mentioned, you know, we have missionaries, churches burned along with Bibles and hymnals. And we've heard missionaries talk about that. But there's these three missionaries, a husband and his wife and the director of missions, were executed in Haiti this week. It was in Haiti. And they were dragged out and killed. That happened this week. So we need to remember Jude Montes and Natalie and Davy Lloyd was their names, for their sacrifice for the freedom of Christ that they brought to the country of Haiti. In Saudi Arabia in the 1990s, public execution was taking place. It was common. A person had become, if you had become a convert in Christianity, and because of your faith, they would execute you. In Saudi Arabia, there is no freedom of religion. No public worship is allowed unless it's Muslim. Anyone who converts to another religion is either put in prison or executed. I mean, think about that. Anybody want to move to Saudi Arabia? Anyone caught trying to convert somebody is arrested and put in prison. Christians around the world at all times have been persecuted for their faith. And that's our heritage and our legacy. And let it, you know, for we don't understand that, I think. That's the reason I say we're naive and ignorant. So let us on this Memorial Day weekend remember those who have gone before us. Let us remember those that have left that example of faith. Third, we need to remember the Savior who died for our forgiveness too. I would like for us to do something very special this morning, and I know this is kind of different, but I'd like for us to celebrate communion together, but in a different way than we have. And I know Carla's like, what? You didn't tell me. Don't worry, Carla. I'd like for us to have the Lord's Supper today. And I'm aware, you know, like I said, that we don't have elements and we don't have the juice and there's no cup and there's no bread. But we'll be having communion the same. And I want you to think about what people do all over the world that are in prison. All the ones in the past. You know, Paul spent many, many years, really, in prison. Wrote most of his letters to the churches and encouraging them from prison. And the prisons there weren't very nice. So I'd like for us to use our God-given imagination this morning. Can you do that? Imagine for the next few minutes, imagine that we're sitting in a prison cell. Imagine that they came last night and they knocked on your door while you're still sleeping and they dragged you out of your house and they arrested you and all that you had was the clothes that's on your back and they beat you and they threw you in a car and or a truck, and they took you to the local jail and they or prison, and they put you in behind bars. And so imagine that it was Saturday night when they came for you, and now it's Sunday morning. You're in prison. You're hungry. You haven't eaten. And you're there with a whole group of other people. And all of them have been arrested for the same thing. Just because they believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. Imagine how cold and how hungry and how frightened you would be. But you're together with other believers. So let's remember in your mind, we remember our Savior who died for our forgiveness. But you're not alone. We're together, aren't we? And there's not just us. Because what the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together, Jesus will be there too. So you imagine Jesus is there with you. And I remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fire, Jesus was there too. When the king looked in there, he saw four. So we know Jesus is in, he's there with us. And we imagine Jesus there being with us. Jesus speaks up and he says this: on the same night in which I was betrayed, I took bread. And when I had given thanks, I broke it and I said this: take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, I also took a cup after supper. And I said, this cup is the new covenant. So when you take and drink this, this is represents the blood that I shed for you. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. On this weekend, Memorial Weekend, let us thank our soldiers. Let us remember them for the sacrifices that they make and for the sacrifices that they've made so that you and I can sit here and not worry about somebody coming in to our homes, to our churches, and dragging us out and putting us in prison for our faith. Let's thank them for that. I fear we're losing ground. The churches are being persecuted more and more, even in our country. People hate Christianity. There's large numbers of people in America that hate Christianity. They hate what it stands for. They hate what we believe. They hate our moral values. And I mean that. I use that word, hate, but they absolutely hate Jesus Christ. Father, this day we remember. Father, we remember those who have gone on before us, not only in this church, who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, but Lord, we thank our soldiers today for what they do. We thank them. Lord, help us today. Help us not lose that. We remember those Christians who have gone on before us in the faith, and we remember Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whom we have forgiveness. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the freedoms that we have.